Our Bibles and go to Deuteronomy 28 this evening. Thank you for praying on short notice there, Brian. Appreciate that. And let's look. Say again. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is we didn't realize for the same price, they did both sides. And I didn't realize they were going to do that. We had contracted them to do one side and got to looking at it. They did both. So, all right. Deuteronomy 28 tonight, God's blessings upon Israel. You see God's curses upon Israel for disobedience, captivity and plagues. The land will not produce. Israel will be enslaved. Plagues will be set in place for disobeying. Israel will be scattered. They'll be invaded. They'll be imprisoned. They'll be carried. Woo! Just look, ending up Deuteronomy here shortly, going through a chapter on Wednesday evenings. And I'll read to you verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall bless thine enemies that rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you tonight that we can meet together asking, Lord, your mercies upon state of Florida, particularly tonight, those headed that way to do provide assistance in the storm, those headed that way to check on children, grandchildren, bless them and bless those families that are there boarding up. Just pray, Lord, that you will spare life. You will steer the storm in a way that life is saved. And we just ask that your hand would be in that situation tonight and tomorrow when landfall is made, just asking, Lord, for your help. Thank you for Chuck Swindoll tonight, 90 years of faithful service, praying that you'll bless Stonebriar Community Church as he wraps up his ministry there as lead pastor. No doubt you have other things for him to do with his remaining days on earth, but just a nod to say thanks, Lord, for a man that's touched our nation in so great a way. Bless now as we spend a moment here in Deuteronomy 28. Help us, Lord, to find good things, take away truths, walk away refreshed, loving you more tonight when we leave than even when we came in. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, it would be easy to read Deuteronomy 28 and kind of speed read it, go through it, and have this sense that you're really, I don't think that there's any, you know, real application that could be made to current events. After all, this is ancient history, and someone could say, and I would say amen to it. These promises are given to Israel. I would say amen. These promises of curses are given to Israel. I would say amen. It is specifically designed for Israel. I get that. I understand those things. But I think truth is truth, and I think walking with God has benefits, and I think turning from God has real disadvantages, real curses will come upon you. I don't care if you're Israel. I don't care if you're any nation. I am of the persuasion that the United States of America needs to set up and pay attention, and that all nations would do well to pay attention to what God said specifically to the nation of Israel. I know He's their chosen people, and I know He's chosen that city, He's chosen that land, He's chosen that people to be special, but it's to be a blessing to the entire world. But truth is truth, and you can paint with a broom with truth. And you don't have to be, you can color outside the lines just a little bit. And so my approach to Deuteronomy 28, as it would be with anything, yes, apply it where it applies to the nation of Israel, but also say, hey, pay attention, nations. Be on watch. It makes sense to conclude, some would say, there can't be a connection to our life. It would make sense to me to say, when you read it, make connections to your life. I think that's the way to biblically read something. For truth is truth, and there are principles here that have value for everyday life. Yes, Deuteronomy is the study of ancient history. Yes, Deuteronomy is the study of Israel becoming a nation, coming out, you know, all the writings of Moses, very precious to study these together. If I were to give you a jet tour of the Old Testament, I heard Colin Smith go, Adam, and then he went Abraham, then he went Moses, then he went David, then he went Ezra. I don't know why he chose Ezra. That's what he chose. But when you think about studying all five books, we have studied Adam, we have studied Abraham, and we have studied Moses. We've studied three of the five. If you want a clear understanding of the Old Testament, you're getting a good handle on it in just comprehending these five books. But God has a plan for the nation of Israel. How about this for a memo? God has a plan for the United States. God has a plan for the individuals of individual. I get it. I'm in. Count me in on that. I got it. God has a plan for every individual on earth. And I don't think that I'm adding to the word or taking away from the word. I'm just saying we are all created in the image of God. God has a plan for us. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Each one of us specifically. So let's just spend a moment here and see how and why God would bless. But let's spend a moment here and see how and why God would curse and what that would mean, and maybe draw some truths even for ourselves tonight. Notice in Deuteronomy 28, the blessing. That's 1 through 14. I read 1 through 10. I'll cover 1 through 14 real quickly with you tonight. And then I want us to see beyond the blessing, I want us to see the blight, and that is those cursings. And it begins in like 15, down through 24. And then I want us to see there's an invasion. I'm calling it the breach. And there's these foreigners that step into the picture. And I'll just look at a couple of verses as we finish up the chapter on that. Verse 33 and verse 43. First, the blessing, 1 through 14. Now, if I'm to go through this, the Lord says, I want to bless you. Get that. The Lord says, I want to give you this land. It's not that you're going in and conquering it. I'm giving. It is my gift to you. And what a treasure that is. And that's the way it is with our salvation. Israel wouldn't get any they wouldn't get any credit for being, you know, the conquering military force that would go in and do this thing. And they would say, yeah, look how big and bad we are. God was going to give to the nation of Israel this land, and God would get all the credit for it. And he says, now I want you to look up to me. I want you to walk with me. 28 is a very long chapter of scripture, but let's just look at it for a moment. In verse 1, he says, you are going to be considered really something special by the surrounding nations. Last week I told you there's not a week that goes by that Israel is not a leading component in the news. They're in the news somehow. It was that way when I was a kid. It's that way now that I'm an adult. Nothing has changed. He says, I want you to observe these commandments, and that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Israel has a unique spot among the nations. The only nation, I think, that you could say God formed that nation, created that nation, called that nation. That is his nation right there. They are unique among the nations. Verse number 3, your cities and fields will be blessed. And verse number 4, you will have healthy children. You will have healthy livestock. Verse number 5, you will have a healthy economy. Your business will be good. The produce, the gross domestic product. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Your economy, your businesses will thrive, be healthy, sizzle. The open sign will be a welcome sign. Verse 6, it's going to be safe to travel in. It's going to be safe to travel out. Whether you're coming in, whether you're going out, you don't have to be constantly looking over your shoulder. Verse number 6. Number 7, why is that? He's going to take care of your enemies. There's going to be enemies that rise up against you. I'm going to take care of them on your behalf. They're going to come in as one. I'm going to scatter them as 7. They're going to scatter to the 4 winds. They're not just going north, south, east, and west. We're going to make up some other directions for them to go. There's going to be 7 directions they're going to go when the end and the dust settles on that. In verse number 9, worship is going to be established. Worship is going to flourish. Everyone is going to take part in worship. You're going to be known as a holy people. And you're going to be known as a people that keep the commandments of the Lord thy God. You're going to be known as a people that walk in his ways. That's just who you are. That's what you're going to be known. This is what's going to happen. Worship is not going to be a casualty in this nation. Worship is going to be a high priority in this nation. It's going to be the centerpiece of this nation. If you want to know the centerpiece of the produce and the business and the open signs and the military and the conquering and the going in and the going out, it is number 9, worship. Verse number 12 goes so far as to say the weather is going to be good. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. Heaven gives rain to the land. Bless the work of thy hands. Machinery works, hands work, barns work, storehouse work, baling wire works. It's all going to work. Bless the work of your hand. You shall not be a borrower to many nations. You will actually be the lender to many nations. And you shall not borrow, in fact. And everyone's going, your treasuries, your storehouse is going to be so full, you are going to be a boondoggle to the nations around, because it's going to be a sign of the blessing from the hand of God. And so that's the blessing. And I think in our short 200 plus years, sounds like America in many ways. John Adams, our second president, said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Our founding fathers considered this nation an Israel of sorts, a city upon a hill. We wanted to model ourselves after the blessing of God from on high. Our Constitution is, although it's not an inspired document, our Constitution is a biblical document. It understands that men are sinners. Therefore, we have three co-equal branches of government. We have term limits. We tell the government what they cannot do rather than what they can do. We established a limited government. We established the right to bear arms, not just for hunting, but for the citizenry to protect themselves against the government if tyranny were to be established. They knew that men were sinners. This nation was founded with the blessing, and for 200 years, this nation has been a nation among nations. It has been a blessing to other nations. In fact, it is so dire and so serious to this day that if America goes down, the world is in huge trouble. And we need to pray for this nation, and we need to protect this nation. We need to register, we need to vote, we need to pray, we need to fast, we need to spread the word as far and wide as we can. Phil Robertson of good old Duck Dynasty, philosopher Phil, he said this, "Our founding father started this country and built it on God and his word, and this country sure would be a better place to live and raise our children if we still followed those ideals and those beliefs." That is a good quote for sure. So those are the blessings. Kind of reminds you of America in many ways. Certainly in our early years, and until recent years, you would say 1 through 14. That's us. 1 through 14. That sure has been the story here. And in many ways, I would say I'm not so pessimistic about our nation that I think things have entirely changed. But I think we are at a crossword in Mayday trouble if we don't get some things corrected now and get them corrected fast. Because, he says, not only in verses 1 through 14 will I bless you, 15 to the end of the chapter, and there's like 60 some odd verses here, he says just the opposite. If the nation were to choose not to walk with God and not to honor him. I'm calling this the blight in 15 through 24. And I'm not going to read it because it is almost a mere opposite of everything I read in the first 14 verses. That in 15 through 24, he would say, you're not going to be a big deal among the nations. Your cities and fields won't be blessed. You're not going to have children. Giving birth is not going to be healthy. Livestock is going to not be healthy. Your economy is going to hit the skids. It's not going to be safe to travel in and out. The land will not be strong militarily. There won't be peace in the land. Worship won't flourish. Crops and weather are going to flounder. If you choose not to walk with me, then things are going to go in a different direction than the first 14 verses. And just a taste of that in 15, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy cattle, and the flocks of thy sheep. So it's a mirrored opposite of everything you read in 1 through 14. Is just the other side of the coin is flipped in 15 through 24. And he says, all of those blessings, without prejudice, will be taken away from you, and you will be able to visibly see it. You will recognize it, and it will be the judgment of God on you if you turn away from the Lord. As I said, 1 through 14 sounds a lot like America. Would it be prudent to say verses 15 through 24 are beginning to sound a lot like America as well? That things are not doing as well today as they once did in our nation. We have this influx of illegal migrants, aliens is the way I was first introduced to the word illegal aliens, and they don't like the word illegal, and they certainly don't like the word aliens, but I think it's proper to say this. These are illegal aliens that are in our nation that care nothing about culture, language, faith, never heard of Abraham Lincoln or George Washington, for that matter, know nothing of our Constitution. But the blight has been going on for some years now. Recently, a man from Honduras, age 26, sexually assaulted a child. Recently, a Guatemalan woman, age 43, hired a hitman to murder two people. Recently, a Guatemalan man, age 20, kidnapped and sexually assaulted a child. Recently, a University of Michigan student was assaulted and attacked simply because he's Jewish. We're seeing this take place at Harvard. We're seeing this take place at Columbia University. We're seeing this take place in New York. We're seeing this take place in LA. We're seeing this take place across the nation. Anti-Semitism is on the rise, and we've moved out of verses 1 through 14. We're now living in verses 15 through 24, and Chicago has like 59 active gangs in the city, 59 active gangs in the city. And every weekend in the city of Chicago, there are more people killed, wounded than on any battlefield around the world. And they have the strictest gun control laws in the United States of America, which tells you, number one, good guys obey the law. Number two, bad guys don't care about obeying the law. And if you put gun controls in place, set them in place, and remove all of our weapons like a presidential candidate wants to do, it is going to be a bloodbath. The bad guys are going to take over the streets as if they haven't already done that. If 59 active gang groups isn't bad enough in Chicago, Los Angeles, California has 450 gang groups operating within the city limits of Los Angeles, and it's just becoming increasingly dangerous. 50% surge in New York City gang violence alone. Venezuelan gangs upending Aurora, Colorado. Haitians upending Springfield, Ohio. We're just seeing this in the news. It's leading every front page, every news story that you read about. We are seeing the counterbalance of 1 through 14, 15 forward in Deuteronomy 28 come to place in America. Benjamin Franklin said, and he is not really notorious for his faith and being a Christian man, said this: only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. And if you were to boil that down, you could say, if you take the Ten Commandments off the schoolhouse walls, you're going to have to put more police officers in the schoolhouse halls. And we're seeing school threats, not at the end of the school year. We've barely opened up school, and we're seeing schools in our own county and Southwest Missouri come under threat already with schools barely opened. And that's just here. And one of the safest places on God's green earth is Southwest Missouri. And I can imagine that things like this are going on all across the nation, the blight. The breach, beginning in 25, this is where you see captivity and plagues being described. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them. Early it was, they shall come in one way against you, and then they're going to flee seven ways. This one in 25 says, you shall go out one way against them, and then you will flee seven ways before them. And you shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. You're going to be scattered across the four corners of the world, so that now you do have Jews in Germany, Jews in Poland, Jews in Czechoslovakia, Jews in the United States. One of the largest Jewish populations in the world is in the United States. Jews in South Africa, Jews all over, Jews in Russia, Jews all over the world. He says, I'm going to scatter you if you are disobedient, and I'm going to send in invaders who will come in and do a frontal attack on your nation. I want to focus on 33 and 43. Let me read those to you tonight as we wrap up this evening. 33, the fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always. I think in the English Standard Version, it says, a nation that you have not known shall eat up the fruit of your ground and of all your labors, and you shall be oppressed and crushed continually. Now, this is going to be strangers doing this. Now, in 27, it was a different story. In chapter 27, God said, there are going to be strangers in your midst. An occasional stranger is going to come in. He's probably going to be a proselyte. He has an interest in your faith. He's going to come in and acclimate himself to your culture, to your worship, to everything. Be kind to him. Show him justice. I think it was Deuteronomy 27:19. Be kind to him. Do him justice. Remember that you were a stranger in the land of Egypt, and treat strangers accordingly. What you have in 28 is not a single foreigner in your midst. What you have in 28 is like masses of people coming in. And there's a difference in the intent, a difference in the outcome, a difference in the end of the story. When you're dealing with a single in 27 versus a virtual army in 28, the strangers that come in and that are in your midst are not going to do you good, but do you only harm. They know nothing about your culture, nothing about your land, nothing about your heritage, nothing about your God. And they're going to come in and they are going to turn your world upside down and displace you from your home, displace you from your land, displace you from everything good and normal. And that is, in fact, the judgment of God. Now, I want to be honest with you. Some people say, God bless America. God bless America. Is God blessing America? I say, God is blessing America. You say, is God judging America? Abortion since 1973 is not going to lead to the judgment of God. Abortion since 1973 is the judgment of God. An economy that is upside down and being $34 trillion in debt is not going to lead to the judgment of God. Being $34 trillion in debt and being the borrower from a foreign nation rather than the lender to a foreign nation, $34 trillion in debt doesn't lead to the judgment of God. $34 trillion in debt is the judgment of God. Foreigners who come into this land, some say 6 million, some say 8 million, some say 10 million, some say 12 million. I'd say it's more like 20 to 25 million who are illegal aliens in our nation, doesn't lead to the judgment of God. Having this many illegals in our nation is the judgment of God. If you look at verse number 33, but even beyond that, to verse number 43, just to take a sampling of things here, 28:43, he says, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. And he, these strangers, these foreigners, will lend to thee. They'll lend to you, but you will not lend to them. These foreigners shall be the head, you'll be the tail. Being this grossly in debt doesn't lead to the judgment of God. This is evidence of the judgment of God. And when I read verse number 44, I think of China. I think it is public enemy number one. We keep talking about Russia, 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 and Russia is certainly an enemy of our nation and has ill intent. Putin is a murderer and no friend of our nation, but China is the real enemy. And we are in debt to them. Basically, they own us. And it's a dangerous very dangerous situation. If you were to read 43 in the Berean Study Bible, it says, "The foreigner living among you shall rise higher and higher above you, while you sink down lower and lower." So chapter 28 describes not just a foreigner that comes in on occasion like 27 did and says, "Hey, treat them kindly, make sure justice is served, roll out the red carpet, remember you were a stranger in the nation of Egypt." Not some guy that comes in that's a proselyte that wants to come in and acclimate. 28 is describing a mass invasion. And there's a difference. 28 of Deuteronomy is describing something that's called the judgment of God. You say, "No, you're out of control. Would you just calm down? Go get a soda." God uses foreigners multiple times in Scripture to judge nations. In the book of Judges, you see the Midianites come in. The Midianites sweep in and devastate the nation of Israel. In the book of Judges, you see the Philistines come in and they devastate. This is the judgment of God. In the book of Joel, you see foreigners come in, and Joel likens them to locusts that literally sweep in and they consume all the crops and all the fields, and they devastate house, home, humanity. They leave no leaf unturned. They devour towns, fields, crops without end. And so 28, while 27 said, "Roll out the red carpet, treat them kind, remember you were from Egypt," and all that, 28 is saying, this is not a blessing. This can turn into evidence of the curse of God upon your nation. I think if you were to ask the average American what the biggest problem we have in this nation, they're not going to discuss abortion, although the Democrats want to make that the top issue. They're going to discuss the southern border. And they're going to discuss that there are multiple gangs, MS-13 and the likes, Venezuelan gangs that are and groups of Haitians that they're just getting in here on some sort of a temporary status that don't know how to drive, and they're handing out driver's license, and you better buckle up if you're in Springfield, Ohio, because not only are they having trouble with just domestic pets being barbecued, there are wrecks going on all over Springfield, Ohio. These people don't know how to drive. You better wear your seatbelt. But crime is up. Casualties are up, murder is up, theft is up, traffic automobile accidents are up. You say, "What is going on?" Correct me if I'm wrong. I think this is part of the judgment of God that we need to get under control. And Moses is saying, this is how it works. This is what it looks like. He is not stuttering. He is not making you read between the lines. He is not saying, "I'm talking in Bible speak so that everyone has to second guess what I'm saying." He's saying, if you do not walk with God as a nation, you are going to, your head's going to be lifted up, your throat's going to be cut. You're going to be taken to the woodshed. And I may be slapped as a theologian for saying, don't apply this to America. I think you can apply this to any nation. These truths apply. And God would want us to take notice of how he deals with his homeland, Israel, and the invasion that they were going to suffer would displace Israelis from their homes, from their jobs, from their essentials, from the basics of life. And so the takeaway is, walk with God. I did hear President Trump recently say, our nation needs God. And we have, he actually said, our nation has a Savior and I'm not him. His name is Jesus. And we need to come back home to the Lord. And I think Deuteronomy 28 could not be a more timely message for any nation. And so I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm just going through the book, and this is what it's saying, and this is what I'm seeing. And so forgive me if you think I'm being cruel tonight, but let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our founding fathers. We thank you for the promises that we have and the legacy that we have. It is a legacy by design. Our founding fathers knew exactly what they were doing. If you were to ask most people in the nation today, would you want to take the name of the George Washington Monument and change it to the George Floyd Monument, there would be, unfortunately, a lot of people would say, yeah, I think that's a good idea. Lord, we need to pray for we're praying for our nation tonight. We're asking for your mercy. We're asking for your forgiveness. We're asking for you to protect those who are running for public office. We're asking for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven regarding the outcome of this election. We thank you that we are told that you're still sitting on your throne, that Christ is sitting there firmly ensconced. He's not going anywhere. And in fact, he is interceding for us tonight. We're thankful for that, Lord, and pray that you would bless this nation. These are tough days. We're within 40 plus days of an election that's about to be held, and we just ask, Lord, that you would help us tonight, next week, a vice presidential debate on Tuesday evening. And Lord, help us. Help. We need your help. Save us. And we pray that you'll use texts like Deuteronomy 28 to awaken us as a nation to your word and to your way. If there's one here tonight that needs a Savior, may they come to faith in Christ tonight. Lord, if there are those who need to pray, we need to be praying, we need to be fasting, we need to be begging you on here in America to help us. I know other nations are praying for America. We need to be praying for ourselves, to help us, all 50 states and our territories, Lord, that you would send a great revival again. We thank you for the flashpoints of revival that we are seeing on college campuses and in churches across the nation. There are some things that can only be said. You are active. You are doing things. Help us, Lord, in church, in the government, in civil, ecclesiastical, educational, medically, farming, Lord, all of these, weather, all of these things tonight are discussed in 28. Help us, Lord. If someone needs to pray tonight, may they come. Someone needs a church home. I'm having several again say, when's your prospective members class? Thanking you for that, Lord, but some could come tonight and say, I want to become a part of this church family tonight. And Lord, we ask that your favor would be upon this church, past 20 years, future 20 years. Just help us to hunger for you and go with you, Lord, every step of the way. Speak to us tonight, Lord, as we sing our closing song. In Jesus' name, amen.